Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Understand that the word of the Lord is power. When the Lord speaks, he is not suggesting. When the Lord speaks, it is the voice of a king you have heard. When the Lord is speaking, regardless of the conditions that are in front of you, those things will be reversed. The word of the Lord is not a suggestion. It's a commandment. Let me tell you something. Open to Psalm 102 and verse 25. I hope I will be able to share very briefly with us in the next 10 minutes. Psalm 102 and verse 25. He said, of old, as thou laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. Now, I want you to look at the kind of things God does with his hands. This is why I know that the Lord will not permit Satan to write the last chapter of your life. Because you are a creation. You are a direct creation of the word of the Lord. He said, look, put up that scripture. He said, the heavens are the works of your hands. Now, if you have ever. Now, for those of you who have traveled by air, you will agree with me that many times no two flights are the same depending on the weather condition. I was being in the air and it started to rain. And when it started to rain, the plane was heading upward. You know, we had just taken off and then at some point it started to rain. But this was the position of the plane, upwards. And as the plane was heading towards the sky, there were vibrations. There was thunderstorm. Everywhere was cloudy. Nobody could sleep. You could see the way the plane was vibrating. It was vibrating. After some time, the plane broke through the cloud. And I looked and I was seeing the rain. I was seeing the cloud underneath me. I was seeing the rain. Something was happening below me that wasn't happening over me. There was a shift in atmosphere. You see, when an eagle, oh my God, you must develop internal strength. There are certain battles you will not need to give a response to again. Some of you have stayed on a level because you gave too much attention to small demons. There's a video that we saw of an eagle that had picked up a serpent, and the serpent kept biting and stinging the eagle. The eagle did not stop. It kept raising the altitude. Come and say altitude. It kept raising. You see, how do you raise spiritual altitude? Let me tell you. If you are praying about a particular matter, and before then, anytime you pray like that, you get results. You now notice that now, anytime I pray in this way, it takes me more time to get the kind of result that I would have wanted to get. So what God is saying is, raise the standard. Probably that type of prayer was a 10-minute prayer or 15-minute prayer. Then you take your calculator and then you multiply that time. You move it to 45 minutes. Raising altitude means that you continue to do something consistently in spite of the opposition. Just like that serpent kept stinging and kept biting the feet of that eagle, the eagle did not budge. Now, if you are the one, or if it were to be just a regular animal, do you know that one bite from that serpent could paralyze? There was a particular brother, there's a particular type of snake somewhere in Ghana, you know. That type of snake, I've forgotten, I don't want to give the wrong name. When it stings you, is it the black mamba? When it stings you, you will feel normal. But the poison goes to your heart. Your heart will just stop working. And I heard the story of a particular brother that was in a class, and his black mamba came, just stung him in a classroom, and people rushed to him. Okay, don't worry, it's okay, it's fine, let's continue the class. 30 minutes later, the boy froze. Boom! He was dead. I want you to see that some of the things that you are saying, oh, the devil has been on my case, have actually killed many others. Those small, small battles that you think are just, you know, have taken the lives of many people, for which we went to Aton Cemetery and we could not even explain why we were here. Because this thing is a small matter. How do you tell someone that it was malaria? It's an attack. But you see, there are things that seasons that may come upon you, and you will know that this thing that we are looking at, we need to increase the prayer tempo. That is how to raise altitude. Especially when you are dealing with something that has a lot of questions but very few answers. That eagle kept swearing eye and swearing eye and swearing eye because the eagle knows something. The eagle knows that there are very few animals that can breathe at a level. Oxygen is reduced. So while that thing was trying to wriggle itself out, the eagle just kept going higher, kept fasting, kept praying, pattern praying, night praying, you know, different types of prayer. Pattern praying, night praying, prayer of the watches. He kept praying. Some of you are hearing me. Some of you are getting instructions. But some of you are just listening. Some of you are hearing instructions. You know, he began to structure. When he got to a point in the air, the serpent died naturally because he could not breathe again. When you are dealing with a situation, maybe in the family or in the workplace, because some of you in your offices, there are a lot of witches there. There are people that cannot, you know, when we were in the bank, and my wife probably knows a bit of this, they have some of these graduate manager program thing they do sometimes for young graduates. They recruit young graduates and they put them on a managerial program. After the training, they will be promoted to assistant managers or full managers. But some of them are just 21, 22 years. You have been in this bank for years, 10 years, 12 years. They've denied you promotion 7 times. Then they want you to train this young one, who will later become a manager, while you are just an officer. So already you have been introduced to warfare. Because what we do in my own bank is that we'll take you to the tailoring point. You will learn how to be a good teller. Then we'll take you to customer service. Then maybe we'll move you to the head office, go to trade department, FinCon, financial control. We'll move you to legal. They take you across. But as you are going to each of these departments, you are meeting people who have been on the same point for years. And they are supposed to train you. What do you expect them to think? Say, what is mine that thou are mindful of him? People just, that was the language of angels. Angels were asking God, what is it about these guys? The warfare was an angelic warfare. It is natural for you to think, there's nothing she's doing that I'm not doing this. Why is she being made to? She has no experience. Straight from NYC, manager. Do you know how many years it takes to be a manager in the bank? Let me explain to you. Depending on the bank, you come in as an entry level, you might spend 3 years on that level. Even when they confirm you, they will confirm you on that entry level role. If you are very lucky, you may get a promotion and you become assistant banking officer. That is even if your bank has not created another role to cheat you from becoming an assistant banking officer. Then you stay there again. If you are in some banks with some letters like U and all those things, you will know what I'm saying. You know, you can be on that entry-level role. They'll just be changing the designation for 6 years. Then you finally become assistant banking officer. Then they'll move you to where you can work and sweat, because now we are paying you. If you are very lucky, again, maybe after 3 years you get promoted, you become a banking officer. So that's, let's assume you've gotten 3 promotions consistently without fail. That is 9 years of your life. I want you to see, okay, hold on, hold your horses. Then you are lucky again. Somebody likes your name, or they like your face, or you bear the same name with his mom, so he promotes you. You become a senior banking officer, 12 years. Then you get another promotion, 3 years later, 15 years, you become a deputy manager. Oh, sorry, assistant manager. Then you get, if you are lucky again, you after 3 years, that's 15 years already, 18 years, you become a DM. So you require at least 18 years of consistent promotion to become a deputy manager. And then somebody comes in on the first day and they say she's on a managerial training program and she's 22. And I am going to tell you, we eat stone. So even if you don't want to be, you must have the heart of Christ. To say, this one is my younger sister at home. People will hate you. Do you know why there's a target on your back? Do you know the conversations that are going on in the spiritual realm on you, on your matter? You are now saying, Pastor, I don't know who I offended. I know who you offended. It is your prophecy that is bringing the warfare. It is your promise, the promise that God made to you, that is bringing the warfare. If you are not skilled in warfare, God will have to shop for another man.
Hallelujah.
So in raising altitude, you must learn different types of prayers. There are some prayers that we... I listened to some of this. I was all pastors. They'll tell you it's not about praying at night. I laugh. I say they have not opened your fire. You know, you had life so good. You know, things are working for you. Your father may even be a pastor, a multi-billionaire. So you don't know what it means to pray before you can buy drum sets in the church. You don't know what it is. So for some of us, it was warfare. We prayed and fasted to buy drum set, to buy microphone. In fact, at some point, we started hearing messages where our father was telling us, until you preach and nobody can hear your voice again, don't buy mic. Just to encourage us that we don't need microphone to be men of God. My sister, there are spirits that don't... I hope you know spirits don't move around where there's noise. So they live the day for you. They come at night. It was in the night the enemy came to sow tears. Why not in the day? They come when men are tired, so they are free to move and roam around. So there's what we call the prayer of the night. Prayer of the night. Prayer of the night. When spirits are awake, you stay awake. And you begin to pray in the spirit. You pray in the spirit. You put your legs in water and you pray. You don't know when the prayer will end, but you know at least you'll be here for 2 hours. It is not the timing per se, as much as the sacrifice that is involved in that prayer that makes it very powerful. Anybody that calls around 2 a.m. must be possessed, because now it is obvious that you are sent to me. Jesus prayed at night, ministered in the day. He prayed at night. What did Jesus... Do you think he just wanted to pray in the day, will not pray? What is it about the night? That is where matters can be settled. Conveniently. And you pray, sometimes you go to bed, God will now appear to you in dreams and reveal some things to you. Pastor, I don't know, I don't dream. It's because you don't pray again. Prayer of the night. You raise altitude by praying after the watches. The scripture says that Peter and John went to the temple at the hour of prayer. There is such a thing as the hour of prayer. And I hope you know that the things that we see on earth are modeled after the things that are in the heavens. Are you with me now? Somebody's not with me. Maybe I should allow you to go through this challenge. Then when you finally realize this point, we will come back and do the class again. I said there is something. Do you know that when the Lord was speaking to Moses, he said, "This build this temple according to the pattern that I have given to you. If I say this length must be 15 meters, you cannot add 1 meter. Do you know that even for constructing the items in the temple, the Lord raised a man called Bezalel and Aholiab and anointed them. The first time that context of anointing was used was for creativity, not even for preaching. God will not allow mortal man touch his work. He has to anoint you. Say, build according to the pattern. That means whatever you are building will be a resemblance of the temple that is in heaven. There is such a thing as the hour of prayer. That means at this time, it's easier to get prayers answered because it is the hour of prayer. Are you with me? Now, the hour of prayer, as stated in scripture, they are every 3 hours. Please, are you with me or have you slept? Every 3 hours. 12 a.m., 3 a.m., 6 a.m. And if you study the scriptures, Jesus used to do more of midnight, 12 to 3. By the time he was coming to save Peter and his friends on that boat, it was 3 a.m. Do you know that the Jewish people believe that culturally, they believe that God visits the earth 3 a.m. every day. And that visitation is occasioned by what we call the morning dew. That the morning dew that we experience when you wake up sometimes and you find that the grasses are wet is a sign that the Lord has spoken a blessing over the earth. That is what the Jewish people, the owner of the Old Testament, that's what they believed. It's a culture. It's a culture. It's an unwritten belief system that they have. And that is why it is very rare to find a Jewish person that is wayward, or that is not blessed. Because there is a way they have been trained to live their lives. The fathers of the houses, of the homes, will lay their hands on their sons and speak a blessing every day. There is a priest, a blessing of the priesthood, where the priest, after every service, will say, "The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord gives you peace." That blessing must be spoken. But can I also tell you, you are also a priest in your house. You can speak that blessing over your children. If you are not married, you can put your hands over your belly and speak those blessings over your unborn children. You must learn how to raise altitudes. And it is something you must learn so well, so that in the day of trial, you already know what will work. I shared this story some time ago, a long time ago, about my daughter who was sick and was so sick. And I think at some point my wife said to me, "This thing cannot, it's not HMO again. That let's go to a good hospital, spend the money and treat this girl." But as somewhere around the last count, we had counted 350,000 that was spent already. There was a day we had service and I got stuck because we were using one hospital in Magodo. We got stuck, you know, Magodo, you know, for those of you that live there, the day you want to do something precious with your life, that CMD road, there is a spirit that resides there. It will just create traffic jam. You will be seeing the office you are going to in front of, like this. You cannot leave your car. It was an evening, and we still had service, online service, you know, that day. My daughter pitied for me. She slept, she woke up. She now said, "Daddy, I think I know the hospital. Should I come down and be checking?" I felt so bad. I felt so bad. Like, if I had a driver that day, I would have backed my daughter and taken her into the hospital. I could not. I could not leave the car. It was not that the traffic, somebody, we didn't even know what, nobody was moving. And after that series of treatment, she still was not well. And then one day she just came and said, "Daddy, I keep seeing snakes in my room. I said, "Of course, I know they were not, she wasn't seeing them physically." I said, "What else did you see?" She said, "Just snakes." I said, "Okay. Is that all?" She said, come and lie down here beside me in the parlor. The moment I heard serpent, I knew that I was dealing with high-level spirits. Serpents are symbolic of divination. Many of the false prophets you see telling you your phone number, they use serpentine spirits. Paul the apostle met one on one of his missionary journeys, where the lady was prophesying and saying, "This is the man that God has sent. I am not the man. Jesus is the man. I am not the man." Then Paul will make that woman the prayer leader, and then the whole church will collapse. So Paul was the one who even gave us some understanding about the spirit of divination. But they are also warrior spirits. Serpents are warrior spirits. When a serpentine spirit, a demonic force, is coming against you in the form of a serpent, its goal is not to negotiate, it is to kill. So our Lord now taught us and said, you must be wise as what? As a serpent, which means the major weapon of a serpent is wisdom. Come on, are you here now?
Yes, sir.
It's wisdom. The serpent will not strike until it sees that you are in your weakest. Oh God. Have you ever been in a situation where you are rushing to the hospital as somebody calls you? Hey, they say something is happening at the office. While you are still there, they call, they say somebody again fell. Your mama is sick in the village. People are like, you are just. Everything is happening at once. Have you had an experience, something close to that before? And you became confused, like, which one do we attack first? Then you call your husband, he's snoring. This man is always snoring. The Lord is his peace. There is a wisdom that Jesus said we must understand from the serpent. In the way the serpent operates, the serpent never comes to you directly. It goes, analyzing. You may think the thing is taking its time. No. It knows what it's doing. Now, the problem with that kind of movement is that you don't even know what to do with yourself. You that the serpent is, you don't even know whether to go this way or come that way or run away. Because this guy doesn't look like he's coming to you. He's just taking his time. And God help you that the door has been locked and the key has been thrown away. What do you do if you are a serpent and you can't go out of it? The serpent is standing at the door. Will you not fight? So will you fight facing it directly? The strategy is don't attack front end. Don't just go and the person you are fighting is also not a straightforward person. That when you go to your office and you see people that you ask a simple question and they cannot answer you directly, those are serpentine manifestations. Yes or no? Will you be around today? Yes, Oga. I want to know if we can hold that meeting. Then later you will hear they went for the meeting. So, I hope you are hearing me now. Most people who manifest that spirit are not even aware. So when you are dealing with a serpent, what is the strategy? Raise the altitude to the point that thing will begin to suffocate. That means that the wisdom that conquers serpentine spirit, they are being able to climb to higher levels of spiritual experiences and encounters. and you continue praying, that kind of attack will not vanish suddenly. So you have to pray. You know that it's going to be a long ride. You pray. You pray. You pray. When you get to a point, you will just notice the thing will begin to lose its grip. In my daughter's case, the moment she mentioned that she was seeing serpents, I knew it would be a night matter. I did not discuss with my wife. My wife told every other person to go to their room. She said, I said, no, leave her. Leave this one. Tonight is for deliverance. Yes, as a Christian, you can need deliverance. You can need deliverance. Eh? Yes, let me explain. If you are frolicking with a possessed person, or you are frolicking with somebody that Satan claims ownership of, and you dropped your guard, you stopped praying and seeking God, you went to start spending time with that person, that one that doesn't joke with his own consecration, that one that Satan claims as his own, but of you, God cannot even place you. He knows your name is in the book of life, but he's not really sure. Sometimes you come, sometimes you don't come. Because you are the one who choose when you want to see God. All right. That serpent, that spirit, will also seek to influence you, claim you. By the time you now say, Father, in the name of Jesus, the next thing you hear is, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. This voice is strange. It's strange. It's not because God doesn't recognize every voice. What God is just trying to say to you is that you are not known here. You are not known. So the matter of praying is not just about fulfilling a religious route or ticking off a box. It is so that when your voice becomes known, there is a way they know you normally sound. When you come and say, turn my life around, they know there's only one person that starts this way. They know the voice. And don't play that old new creation reality game. This is beyond new creation reality. Don't play that game. I can go there if you want, but don't play it. Because the Bible is not built around new creation reality alone. There are so many matters that are discussed and settled in the Word of God. So many matters. New creation reality is the foundation, not the building. Are you here? Are you here? Aha. I know people who stand on before one thousands of people and say there's nothing like spiritual warfare, but people were dying around them. People were dying. People started calling me from those places and say, people are dying, please help us. I said, but your pastor doesn't, he said, I beg, leave him. Let him be preaching what he's preaching. We need help. There are things I may not likely argue with you if it is not my area. I will give you the honor that, okay, you are called into this. Maybe you have a peculiar calling. But Paul said, I also magnify my office. So I will tell you, my own area of prophetic has warfare in it. We will preach this your message, but wait, let me address this matter. When everywhere is calm, we'll give you mic to be saying what you like. But this one, there's a devil here. And you need to be able to speak in 3 minutes, and there must be a manifest. Come on, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Do you know what it means? To speak or pray for somebody, and within 3 minutes, you are seeing a manifestation. If you don't have it, you don't have it. The kind of prayers we pray when we are alone, they are different. They are different because we know that when we step out of here, except the Lord opens our eyes, we don't really know anybody. We don't know who is standing in front of us. Do you know that there are people that sometimes I meet them, maybe in a business meeting, or I meet them somewhere just around in a professional sense, And these are people that I just feel genuinely, oh, I can do something with this person. We can have some area of conversation. By the time I sleep and I wake up, my desire and love for that person has been taken away. Do you know what that means? God is telling you, this person, just hello, hi, don't be close to this person. That's a level you need. Because sometimes you really don't know who is who. You just want to be everybody's friend. And God say, no. While men slept, God will come. That affection for that, he will remove it. You will wake up and just go, there's nothing special about this person. Meanwhile, God has preserved you. You must know the signs that follows the grace of God over your life. So that when you are in a tight spot, you can withdraw from the multitude and begin to do the things that the Lord himself has put in your hands. That night, I remember very clearly that prayer was for 15 minutes. My wife joined us in the prayers. My daughter is very hefty, so I do not claim mastery or being able to carry her myself. But that day, I had to carry her. As a sign of ownership, this one is my own. This one is my own. You must understand prophetic words. You must understand prophetic acts. Prophetic acts. Prophetic acts. When the king said to, when Elisha said to that king, he said, strike the ground. It was a prophetic act. But that prophetic act would determine the course of the next battle. I carried my daughter and I held her like this. And I began to pray. 15 minutes, the burden lifted. And I took her to her room. And I knew that matter was settled. 3 days, she became well instantly. 3 days later, she had a relapse. The Lord told me, forget about it. She's okay. I didn't fear. I didn't panic. And that was how that thing left. Many times, there's something we call test-retest strategy. There's something we call test-retest strategy. This in the financial market. What that strategy means is that if, for instance, bring it down a bit. For instance, if, oh, my. What that strategy means is that if, for instance, the price of a commodity rises to a new level, for instance, pure water. How much is pure water now? Just one pure water is 20. How can it be 20 naira? 20? I know 50. I don't. 3 for 50. I mean, depending whether you are buying it from Lekki or Oshodi, the price can vary. But let us go with 50 naira. Let's assume pure water. Something happens in the country, pure water jumps to 200 naira. I said, let's assume. It's not a prophecy. It is not a prophecy. I have said it now. It is not. Don't begin to shout. I am not your president and I'm not elected. I'm just a Nigerian. Amen. So if something happens and the price jumps to 200 naira, so what happens is that there's going to be a resistance. People will begin to shout. Then the price will drop briefly and come back to say 100 naira. Then it will test that price and see if people are comfortable buying at that price. Huh? If that price level of 100 does not hold, and the big boys who are in the manufacturing industry in that pure water business come in to control the market, that point where that price was tested, it will go back up and then break 200 and start moving towards 400. That's what we call test retest. What that means for you spiritually is that when you want to build spiritual momentum and altitude, you may be praying and praying and praying, and you may be gaining some breakthroughs. You may, just the way I prayed for my daughter, and I had a release in my heart that she was free. 3 days later, Satan came back to retest that level. She started developing the same symptoms again. To see my reaction. Are you with me? But because I remained stable, the thing spiked back into my breakthrough. The breakthrough was at 200 level or 200 naira. The price came down to 100 naira. They wanted to see if I would panic or if I even believe the prayer I prayed that night.
Wow.
But because I stood my ground, I just said, there's nothing there. They tried. I did not move. I did not even look at it. Say, okay, let the price go back to where the healing is. And that was the end of the matter. There is a level of resilience that you must build. You cannot build it in the anointing. You must build it in discipline. Are you with me now? You must build it in discipline. You must build it in true discipline. You must, if you, and don't even start and say, oh, because I'm a banker. Hello, Daniel was a politician. And he prayed with the watch hours. If you know you cannot pray around 4 a.m., move your prayer time to the night time, like 9 p.m. The moment the heavens identify that time, that this is when you are usually available, they will build all your encounters around that time. Those are the times you will see angels. Those are the times you have visions. You will begin to find that from that 9 p.m. towards 6 a.m., it is easier for the Lord to begin to communicate with you because you have consecrated that time. They know that 6 a.m. you may wake up and pray for 10 minutes, but that's not an issue. They know that when they don't see you for 3 days around 9 p.m., they begin to look for that. Go and check that girl. So maybe something has happened to her. Please tell your neighbor, build momentum. There are levels in which Satan cannot engage in. There are levels in which Satan cannot. There are some of you that received prophecies and you shouted amen and you went to sleep. It's not every prophecy you can sleep on. Some prophecies are informational. Some prophecies are declaration of battles. So when you get those, that second type of prophecy, you enter into a fast and you begin to pray. There are some fastings that are very difficult, like the consecration of the tongue. 7 days, the Lord will tell you, do not say a word to any man. Oh, yeah. That's the day you will know it is very difficult to not to talk. I have a friend, Inyechi. The Lord will tell him, for 3 days, don't see the sun. Be in the room praying. He's a doctor. 3 days. They will cover the old curtains. No light must come in that darkness. Everywhere we look as though it is night. Take away the wall clock. Take away the wristwatch. Take away everything. Sharp blades, otaka. The alarm will only go off on the third day. So you don't need to look at the time. Just be praying. Whenever you hit 3 days, your alarm will go off. Then he comes out of that meeting and goes straight for the crusade he's preaching at. Say, that man of God is very anointed. Can you do what he's doing? So you say, I like that man. He's very young and anointed. Can you do what he's doing? Can you keep your tongue from speaking vile things? There are consecrations God will give to you, and they are yours. You must find them. There's a lady like that. I heard her story. The lady used to walk. Very young girl, in such unexplainable glory, presence, and divine favor. She herself could not explain why she was walking in such glory. It was until she lost it that she realized. You know what it means when a young lady just walks into a meeting and everybody just looks like that. There's an aura around this person. Yes, she was praying, but she just prays like every regular Christian. But there was something that God, that was an instruction that was given to her. No man must touch your body. That was the instruction. But you know, when God speaks to you like that, you just say, after all, the Bible says you should not even fornicate. That was the mind with which she was processing that thing. So she, like, even if God is not saying it, I'm supposed to be a Christian, right? So for her, it was what every Christian should do. And she will walk into church meetings and she will see very fervent Christians complaining, Pastor, I am struggling with lust. What do I do? And the pastor was struggling. The pastor's wife was struggling with lust. The church member was struggling with lust. This girl was the only person in that church that anytime she said, I don't know how to lust. This is not a teenager. This is someone in her 20s. She said, I don't know how to lust. It was a grace that God gave to her to preserve her. You know, when I heard that story, I say, it's just that some of us, we were committing sin when Jesus found us. Ah! I don't mind this kind of anointing. It was a very rare, I've never seen anybody that doesn't know how to lust. And she's saying it innocently. It's not like she's judging. She's like, I do not to do it. I can't even, my mind just shuts down. I can't do it. But it was tied to the instruction that you must not allow yourself be close to any brother to the point that you compromise. It was a condition. And one day, she broke that rule. She cried. She ran to the church. Everybody's happy now. We are all equal. Amen. Everybody's happy. We are all equal. If nobody should come and be telling us they don't know how to lust. We are all sinners forgiving. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's grow in the grace of God. Amen. You know, you are wise. It's not to him that will it. It is the Lord that showeth mercy. Unfortunately for that sister, she didn't pull through. There are some things others can do. You cannot do it because of what the Lord has planned to do with you. So you must stay with the Lord for him to tell you some of those things. So I don't gamble. The Lord tells you, look, as long as you keep yourself pure, I will make you rich. Is that one based on tithing? You can't even explain to anybody. They will not understand because they are looking for it in the Bible. The lady was restored by her pastor. She came back to the faith, but she started struggling. From that day, she never recovered that gift again. She will sit in the church like pastor preach. She will be struggling with lust. But God has forgiven her. But you see, that covering that was given was not restored. Learn how to build momentum. Learn how to live from a place in God that you have journeyed with him over time. And anytime you feel threatened, you go to that place, and it is called the secret place. That place you have journeyed with him over time. When you become afraid, you run to that place and let him cover you. Now, all of you that are feeling bad, I didn't tell you that story to make you feel bad. You know, we have all agreed that we're all sinners that were forgiven. So don't worry. Those kind of ladies, they are one in a million. They are not people that come to the world every time. So don't bother comparing yourself with her. I'm just saying this to encourage you. I'm not sorry, you won't go and be feeling bad. Today is a day of new things. Amen. So don't worry, I got you. Amen. So because somebody's already feeling bad now. You are remembering the sin you committed. Our matic back being here. We are forgetting about that one. We are moving on to other things. Let me tell you one way many people fail to raise the altitude. And this one, I want you to hear me with every sense of humility. If you have ever been in a situation in your life and God showed you mercy, God preserved you, but you know it was the mercy of God, and he now brought you out of that situation, and you did not give yourself to the service of God. You did not hear me. Let me repeat. You went through a trying time that almost, you know, messed up your life, and you are praying. Not that I don't mean that you are, no, you had a challenge in your life, and it could be a health challenge, maybe high blood pressure, it could be something, but it was very terrible. Maybe for 6 months or 1 year, you had this challenge, it was so bad, and God just, the only thing God gave you was mercy. He saw you through that season. For that period, let's assume you couldn't really do much. You couldn't evangelize. You couldn't pray. You couldn't come to church. You couldn't do something. God now preserved you. You now came out of that season. You now became laid back, like a dasika. Let me warn you, the next attack that will come against you, you may not have that grace again. There are some people that are so used to mercy, they fail to realize that the grace of God, the first function of the grace of God is to teach us that denying all ungodliness, the grace of God is a teaching anointing. It teaches us how to live. If God preserved you in mercy and he brought you out of a challenge, and then you now came out of it and you became laid back, you did not give. The function of grace of God is to teach us to give ourselves to God, to give our hearts to God, to give our lives to God, to give our bodies to God, to everything we have must come to him. Because when a farmer plants a seed, it is because he has expectation for a harvest. If God preserved you in mercy, what was supposed to kill you and you did not die, and you came out and you became like other people who have not gone through that kind of challenge, go and get ready. May the grace of God be so much that you will not have to go through that kind of a problem again. Because if that thing comes, yeah, you will, you know, Jesus said, are you here? Jesus said, the children will not need to fast when the bridegroom is around. But you see this second one, you will fast. Because of this matter, I become extremely careful. There are levels and there are dimensions. There are things that I could have done at this level. If I fall at this level here, where I'm standing here, I am already on the ground. I can easily pick myself up. If I stand on this level and I throw myself down, I may also pick myself up and people will tell you sorry. But if I move to the 10th step or 15th step and I say, let me see what will happen, you will see it. The moment you, even from the way when you start falling, you will know that I have made a mistake. There are many Christians, and I am not speaking, please, it's just that I cannot mention cases or names. But these are things I am even dealing with right now. People who got brought out of a situation and then they discounted the grace of God and began to live anyhow. And then the enemy came back after them. They started praying and God said, don't get involved. And I told the person, I'm sorry, I can't pray for you. The Lord said, I shouldn't get involved. It's a difficult thing. It's a difficult thing. Anytime you experience mercy, it is because the Lord wants to preserve you for something great. The moment he brings you out of that situation, throw yourself into the work of God. Throw yourself into the presence of God. Don't be far from God. I'm talking to you about how to build or raise the altitude. You can only raise the altitude on something you have done before, you have tested, and you are sure. So there's something called the law of repetition. You do it over and over again, do it over and over again, until it becomes a part of you. You have prayed in that particular way. You have done it consistently. And you know, if I pray like this, God will come at night. God will visit me. God will speak. God. The problem is that most of us have not done anything consistently enough to see the result. And then you come and say, Pastor, I prayed. Please define prayer for me. Please, please, please define prayer. Because I know Jesus prayed all night. I know sometimes he prays 3 hours. I know Daniel prayed pattern prayer. When you say you have prayed, can you explain to me exactly what you did? Jesus was being baptized by John. The Bible said, and as he was being baptized, he was praying. It's in the Bible. Jesus was a man of prayer. There was a particular brother, a great evangelist. Anytime he goes for crusade, he will just raise his hands and people will begin to heal. The blind will begin to see and the cripples will begin to walk. And people used to invite this man for crusades. Every day before his crusade, mama, his mother will call him. The mother lives in the village. My son, how are you? I say, fine. Where are you going this time? I say, we are doing one crusade at so-so area. I say, okay, the Lord will go with you. The mother was a very old man, but a Christian. He will go to that meeting. He was invisible. May God give you someone that can pray with you. Or that can pray for you. You know, some of these are parents, they go to Anglican church, they go to Catholic, they go to... They may not know your Bible the way you are quoting it. But you see that prayer, they know it. You know, you cannot pray, you're always on WhatsApp. But they, you always have to tell us what is going on in your life on WhatsApp. Once you start, don't worry. But I want you to know, Satan is not on WhatsApp. The day they decide to open your file, you better pray that day you will not be on WhatsApp. All those things are just there and they are distracting you. You are the one announcing yourself to the world. Come and see me. Come and see me. Continue. The day the woman died, the brother had a crusade. He had a crusade. He got to the crusade, nothing happened. People were saying, that maybe that mama's death is affecting him because the death was close to the time of the program. So they went to bury mama. You know, they were very close. He had another crusade a few months later. So what people notice is that the anointing on his life started waning. It started waning. Even when he preaches, there's no bite. It's no bite. One day he decided to pray. God, since my mother died, what's wrong with me? I can see it that I'm no more anointed. What is happening? The Lord said, it's not far-fetched. The woman praying for you has died. The person I put in your life to help you has died. That's your problem. So what do? He said, start praying. You are still asking. You pray. You fast, 3 days, 7 days, 21. You want to go for crusade. You bokoto, everything. Goat head, meat, pomo, pounded jam. And he will go, he will do it sound like this. Cripples will be walking. Meanwhile, mama doesn't speak in tongues. So. I say mama doesn't speak in tongues. My son, Holy Spirit, go with him. As he's going, go with him. Holy Spirit, go with him. It's your son. It's your servant. Go with him. Holy Spirit will now go with the boy. On top of pounded jam and goat head. Receive your healing. See, there's a miracle here. There's a miracle here. Come, talk to me. Pastor, for 7 years he could not. Mama was not on camera, but she was making things happen. You, any small thing. This is how I woke up this morning. Hello, guys. Hello, peeps. You will not find power like that. Our fathers didn't find it like that. You will not find it like that. The enemy has put a waster in your path. This camera. God said, my brother, there's no other way. You start praying. I know you don't know how to pray, but you start. You start from somewhere. Maurice Cerullo. You know Maurice Cerullo? Highly, and that is one evangelist I know ministers in the glory. He doesn't minister in the anointing. I was watching one of Maurice Cerullo's meeting in those days of VHS. What's that video cassette? You know, VHS, right? I went to someone's house and they were playing a video for Maurice Cerullo. The altar, nobody could climb the altar. You could see even from the video, you could see like a mist. I'm not talking about this colored light, too. You could see a mist on the altar. The only set of people were on the corner, the music ministers, playing with violin. You see, all this kind of, there are some instruments that I don't know, understand. They have a kind of effect. Trumpet, trombone, and all this, what do you call it? Violin. That's what they were playing, with keyboard. Anybody, you saw people lying like dead men on the altar. Nobody could climb the altar. The glory of God was too intense. Too intense. The camera was on Moselo. He just sat down there. He couldn't get up. What am I going to do? God is on the stage. Everybody sit down. When you come, stand up and say, if you want to give your life, guys, no message was, we see people. I want to give my, have we not achieved our target for the day? You preach. Nobody gave your life. Why not sit down and allow the owner of the work to do the work? Moselo called some of his disciples And he wanted to impart the anointing to them. And he said, go and pray for the sick. He told the sick to come out, crippled, blind, deaf. Many of them came out. He told about a few of them, his sons, said, go and pray for them now. Many of them have never laid hands on a madman before. They did. The madman became well instantly. Some of them have never prayed for crippled people before. They just held their hands. And strength came to the legs of those people. They started walking. There was joy in the city. That crusade went on for 2 weeks. People were getting saved. People were getting healed. People were getting delivered. Until Maurice Cerullo left the crusade. He traveled back. Many of his sons started organizing their own crusades. Jesus healing campaign. Jesus for all. Healing is for today. They started organizing all kind of crusades. You go to southeast. Let me go to southwest. You go to north central. Northwest. I'll kidnap you, but okay, go. They shared themselves. Tina. When they got to the crusade, because people knew those men, that these men were with Jesus, they were with Cerullo. When the pastor wore his suit, it is not suit that makes you anointed. Suit is not, okay, you can wear t-shirt too. It's not all this. Hello, anointing. You don't have anointing, you are wearing suit. The brother stood in, the white brother stood on the altar. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Receive your healing. In the name of Jesus, I command every blinder. If you have been healed, stretch your hands. Nobody. Carry his phone. Reverend Mike, call the other one in Southeast. What's going on? Your crusade. He said, nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. Call the other one. He said, nothing's happening. Say, what's going on? But 3 weeks ago, we were all here, we were ministering. The power of God will say, my brother, we made a mistake. It was not our anointing. It was Maurice Cerullo's anointing. So when you are dealing with measures of central tendency, we talk of mean, median, and mode. What is the concept behind central tendency? You are bringing together, you are centralizing. Central. You are bringing the figures. You want to find the mean. What is the mean? Average. What is the mode? Frequency. You are looking for a central point. That's why we call it central. But when we talk about variability measure of variability, we are talking about variance, range, and we are talking about apartness. Apartness. How far is the instead of following a central tendency, they were following, they wanted to become men of God, forgetting that they didn't have their own anointing, they didn't have the grace. All everything they were doing was because of their proximity to one man. Now, you consider, and I have seen this one happen first hand, not just Cerullo, I've seen it happen first hand. Consider that you now give the next 2-3 years. Of just being close to the Lord. Just being close to the Lord. You just focus on that. That's all. I just want to be close to the Lord. And then somebody wants to become like you in one day. I'm talking about how to gain altitude. Because when you begin to draw near to the Lord will begin to reveal the secrets of the spirit realm to you. Jesus was the Son of God, born in power and born with power. He was power personified. Yet he did not start his ministry without fasting for 40 days. And you have a revelation that does not support fasting. Say, Jesus has given us rest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He has given us rest. Hallelujah. Rest without prayer. Rest without the voice of God. Rest without fasting. Rest without communal. Do you know that this Cerullo story establishes the requirement, the need for community spirit, that there are certain things amongst us that will never happen to us because we are under a corporate anointing, that if a wolf decides to go into the wilderness alone, is no match for a lion, but when he is together with his pack, you cannot defeat a wolf. The lion will back down. That's why they say the pack is always stronger when they are together. There is a community. And some of you are in a community, but you are not integrated into that community. That is another problem. You have to be integrated. You must believe in that calling. You must believe in that community. You must believe in that anointing. You must believe in what the Lord has given to you there. That's how you can gain altitude. Because even if you don't know how to generate strength on your own, but you are in a community, you can leverage on the corporate strength of that community to rise quickly, rise higher, secure your answer, get what you are looking for. As against if you have to pray on your own alone. This is why Jesus spoke to us about when two or three of you shall agree as touching a matter, it shall be done. It will not be refused. Community spirit. That's what the local church is meant for. That's what your church is. It's not about money. It's about a corporate existence, a corporate anointing, such that you will be able to do certain things. It's not because you are anointed for it. It's because you belong to a community that allows it. As you live here today, you are going to reclaim lost territory. Amen. Rise on your feet. As you live today, you are going to reclaim lost territory. Amen. I say you are going to reclaim lost territory. Amen. I say you are going to reclaim lost territory. Amen. When the Lord begins to relate with you, there are certain things He will do clearly in your life. Number one, He will give you a new heart. Because many times, the heart that we may bring to the table may not be relevant for what God wants to. So He said in Ezekiel, in the book of Ezekiel, He said, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. So the Lord will give you a new heart. It may, the new heart in this context may not mean that you are not born. It may be a new perspective to what is being put in front of you. Number two, He will give you a new spirit. That means you will not have a spirit that is weak. If you will have a strong spirit, you will be energized. You will be able to power your life from within. You are not the generator that is moving you forward. It's not based on emotions. It's not based on the human decision. I was in a presentation recently, and well, I'm not really a mathematical person, so I struggle with figures. But not with counting money, anyway. But we were in a meeting, and somebody said to me, so I was doing a presentation, and somebody said to me, how are you able to derive all these formulas? Because we know you. How are you able to derive all these formulas? And I said to them, I say, I snapped it. They said, what do you mean by you snapped it? I said, I mentally photo. I just snapped. I recorded the formulas and I snapped it and it stayed in my head. Ah, they say, oh, you just be talking in parable. Tell us. I said, it's called photographic memory. Then I said, these are people who I've done accounting, economics, masters, postgraduate, and they are asking me the question that I should be the one asking them. But you see, the Spirit of God will make you of quick understanding. Yeah. Isaiah 11. He will make you of quick understanding. Quick understanding. Quick. Not slow. Quick. Yeah. The Lord will give you a new heart. He will give you a new spirit. The third thing the Lord will give you, let me tell you. Because we are talking about new things. He will give you new mercies. Come on, say amen. Amen. The Bible says His mercies are new every morning. He will give us what? New mercies. Number four, according to Psalm 40 verse 3, He said He will give us a new song. The Lord will give us a new song. Hallelujah. In Agai chapter 2 verse 9, He will give us new glory. Come on, say a loud amen.
Amen.
Therefore, in Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 27, this is where I close. Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 27, this is where we are going to pray. And this floor will be open for you to pray as you like. Now, if you have heard what I have said today, and there is any area you need to repent, please do so. I have told myself from next year, I will be very upfront with people. I will not pat anybody on the head. If what you are doing is wrong, and I will tell you. Because I have tried to manage some people, and the people were destroyed. They were destroyed. They were destroyed. So there's no point. It's better I tell you the truth. Let's be enemies, but let me tell you the truth. If there's anything I have said there today, if you feel, just go and repent. Don't hate the messenger. Me, I'm only delivering a message to you. You see that sin that you want to commit? We all want to commit it. Let me just help you now. We all want to commit that sin. But for some reason, we are not. And may God continue to grant all of us his mercy. When you give somebody, there are things I cannot say publicly, but may the Lord have mercy. When you want somebody the way I am speaking now, the person thinks I'm just advising. And the person dies. A life is lost. They are now calling you and saying, what do we do? Well, the person is dead now. What do you want to do? I have too many cases that are happening around me now. I am not really happy now because all these things were avoidable. Everything avoidable. But somebody believes that God is his personal homie. You know, somebody is your homie. God is your friend. Excuse me, God is a king. Don't mistake God with what the Americans are telling you. Were you online when I was, when on Friday, while I was meeting about the power of the grave? Huh? Did you hear my sister? Where's my sister that shared that testimony about something that happened and she was rushing to the hospital? Aha. Uh-huh. While the service was going on, though, was it not during the same era? Uh-huh. And I was here. Meanwhile, someone said, Pastor Gwenga, wait till you see today, oh, power of the grave. How would I have felt? God forbid I come in on Sunday and they are telling me something happened to someone. God forbid. I'm not saying people can't die, but it would have been premature. And it was avoidable. And let me tell you, I don't come to, and the Lord is my witness, I don't come to the Friday meetings with any paper, with any scripture. See, this is a prophetic ministry. You need to know how this thing works. If you plan the way you want to pray, God will be looking at you. Every one of those meetings, especially those prayer meetings, I don't come to those, that especially that Friday meeting or any prayer meeting with a pre-planned prayer. I had something else on my mind though. I sat down what the head said and I began to hear the power of the grave. Deal the power of the grave. One death is too much. We cannot afford it. I say one death is too much. Yeah. We cannot afford it. Yeah. If she was the only one that God sent me to that day, I'm happy now. At least I know that I was not a madman. I was not a madman. But even me that day, when I finished that prayer, I said, wow. Oga, how could they take her easy? Make sure I'm a power of the grave again. I did not know that my own spiritual daughter was somewhere fighting for her life. The way you heard it is the way I heard it this morning. You will not be without help. Yeah. The Lord, at critical times, will raise men to cover you with prayers. Yeah. I say again, by prophecy, you will not be without help. Yeah. The help will come on time. Yeah. I said the help will come on time. Yeah. You see, many of us are struggling with what we call aborted season. God wants to do something, you can see it, all of a sudden you won't see anything again. from today, that will not be your experience. You are not permitted to be small again. I say you are not permitted to be small. What God is giving you is a new glory. I said it's a new glory. The glory that compels kings to come to you. The glory that compels relevant people to come to you. I prophesy, this is your era of new glory. It's your era for new things. New things in righteousness. In the name of Jesus. Jesus said, the glory that I shared with you, I have given it to them. John 17. So that they may be one. It is glory that unites. Say, some will be like the glory of the sun. Some will be like the glory of the moon. The Lord will announce you. Aya, 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 aya. There are some of you that are standing here. Your life will move on autopilot. Because I'm hearing reward. The Lord is mentioning reward to me. There are some of you here. The next 60 days will be seasons of reward for you. Let me tell you, you don't know how this thing works. God can make someone resign for you. God can make someone. John, listen to me. Are you the head of I think you people have departmental heads. Are you heading any department now? I said, but I'm seeing you heading a department. The way it will happen, you will be afraid. Oh, okay. Some of you are seeing Oka. You think I'm talking to him alone? Let's close this service. So, since you didn't get it, but somebody got it. See, let me tell you. This new glory, it is going to put a crown on your head. Somebody will say to you, where have you been? Where have you been? We have been suffering. Where have you been? I have prayed for you to come. Where have you been? But I announce it is your season of new glory. Lord, locate everyone here. Lord, locate everyone here. Ah, Oluwa Faraon. Lord, locate everyone here. Let there be an announcement in the realm of the spirit. Come on, say, I'm qualified. I want you to prophesy, I am qualified. I want you to declare, I am qualified. There are some of you that are here, you have prayed, you have fasted, you are almost giving up. I came to announce to you, just give God 30 days. 30 days. There is a baby that is being brought into this church now. And this child is for someone that has never had a child before. And the Lord said, give me 30 days. I will visit you. Amen. Say, how shall these things be? He said, the power of the Most High will come upon you and overshadow you. Aha! Ah! There is an overshadowing that is required.
Amen.
To make this thing possible. It is called new glory. Ogo tutu. New glory. New glory. I'm telling you what God is putting over your life now. New glory. A different type of glory. You won't be ordinary anymore. It is the glory that compels kings to come to you. The glory that makes what kings have look like child's play. That is what God is giving to you. 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 In the name of Jesus. 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 When we pray, he answers us. When we cry, he hears our voice.
We are not alone. God is with us. Emmanuel, Emmanuel. When we pray, he hears our voice. Hey, when we cry,
he hears our voice.
Hey, we are not alone. God is with us. Emmanuel, Emmanuel.
Let me just take my seat. The Lord is speaking to me about somebody. I perceive that one of your parents died as a result of something that looks like cancer. Huh? Come, who else? Because I have a word to cancel that. If you lost one of your parents by reason of cancer, I have a word from the Lord for you. The word of the Lord is power. The word of the Lord is true. The word of the Lord is able. Lekama lo sotopedia. Wow, wow, wow. I was looking for one person, but I'm looking at five. Please come forward, come forward. Come forward, come forward. Come, the Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. Lema rabasoteli and the Now hear me. Let me tell you the word of the Lord. Because God's word will not go without fulfillment. The Lord said, I should tell you not to be afraid. He said, this trait will not continue in your bloodline.
Yeah.
The Lord said, you should not be afraid. Because sometimes people know these things. They are afraid of going forward because they don't want to continue to send this thing, you know, to the next generation. The Lord said, don't be afraid. He said, I am removing every possibility of cancer from your bloodline.
Amen.
He said, from your own bloodline. Please hear what I'm saying. What I'm saying here is that you will not have it and your children will not have it.
Amen.
Okay, but I'm sure you didn't hear me well, Sha. This particular prophetic word says that you will not develop any cancerous trait, and your children.
Amen.
So the Lord said, do not be afraid.
He said, what that thing we feed on is fear.
So you are going to raise an altar of praise to the Lord for 3 days. You are going to raise an altar of... I said prayer. No, not prayer. Did I say prayer?
I said praise. Yes, praise, 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 praise. Praise.
You are going to raise an altar of praise.
And that will be a testimony to the heavens that you have received your freedom as a family. As a family. Your family will not know that name cancer again.
Do not be afraid. The Lord knows you. And He knows your family. And He has remembered you today. Hallelujah. Do not be afraid. What that thing feeds on is fear. So raise an altar of praise. For the Spirit of God will visit you on the third day of this activity. And you will experience freedom. And you will find 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, the age where your parents began, your mom at this day, you will find that you will cross that age and nothing will happen. The pattern is broken. I said the pattern is broken. Begin to enjoy your deliverance in the name of Jesus. Let's appreciate the Lord.
We are not alone. God is with us. Emmanuel.
Emmanuel.